President Trump was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. We'll see if he gets it. I don't know. I have my reservations. But it would be pretty amazing. And the response from the other side would be the most amazing part. A new poll shows there's no enthusiasm, shocker, for Joe Biden, even within his own party. So low, in fact, they had to bring Barack Obama back out. Put him in a video. We'll show you that in just a little bit. Tucker Carlson has been releasing clips of Michael Cohen talking to people. We had Chris Cuomo before. Now we've got one with CNN President Jeff Zucker. So we'll show you that later on. And Eli Crane joins us later in the show to talk about this whole hit piece from The Atlantic, President Trump and his love for the military, which is contrary, of course, to what the piece says. Lots to get to, folks. It all starts now. Happy Wednesday, folks. Gosh, lots. There's just so much going on. I can't wait to see what the news cycle's like after the election. I don't think it's going to change a whole lot because obviously one side's going to be butthurt. One side's going to be celebrating. There's going to be, it's just going to be crazy. But this cycle that we've been in is absolutely insane. No shortage of stuff to talk about on a daily basis, which is I guess a good thing if you're in the digital media world. The stuff that we're talking about is not overly good, unfortunately. But some fun stuff to get to today, and talked about in the cold open enthusiasm, and have brought it up several times in the show. There is none for Joe Biden. I mean, you can't hide the fact that there's just super low energy around him, who is a super low energy candidate. And there's no energy and enthusiasm in the crowds, which really you can't even say crowds because there haven't been big crowds. So they know they're in trouble. They know they're in trouble because you see that. You see the contrast on the other side of Trump boat parades that are happening all the time. These rallies, which obviously have not happened as much this year because of the pandemic. But you see, this was an example, just compare and contrast here, on a September 3rd, I believe it was, September 3rd event for President Trump. Here was that scene. You've got a large crowd that you always see for the fired up, extremely passionate, patriotic Trump supporters. Again, like the president or not, that you've never seen a political figure, a president or otherwise, have the kind of support that this man does. It's pretty epic. And then here's the other side. This is a picture from a tweet of Joe Biden. You remember he spoke at that factory earlier this month. They let him out of the basement. He got out and had that speech. And this was the scene outside from his crew. This is before, and that last clip, by the way, was before Trump got there. So that was like in anticipation of Trump. This is the same for Biden. It's in anticipation of the event. There were more people later, but we've shown you clips, and there's articles on the site over at drewberquist.com that you can see the full force of the Biden crowd that shows up there later, and it is literally like a youth soccer game. It's very embarrassing. It's very embarrassing for him, and it shows where people are. But this, further proof of it, this happened yesterday. You see President Trump, he was in Jupiter, Florida. He's down there, and he's literally just, people are waiting for him to drive by. Just, they're showing their support for him. Just want a glimpse at the beast, the car, and the caravan. This is what it looked like down there. Roll two. Obvious, right? It's obvious. There's such a difference in terms of the enthusiasm there. You factor in all the stuff we've talked about ad nauseum, the poll that 62% of people are scared to share their political opinions. Obviously, those ones aren't. Obviously, the people on the left and the mainstream media aren't. So that speaks volumes to where hopefully this election goes come November, because there's people who are just waiting to quietly go to that poll or send in their absentee ballot and vote for Law and Order and vote for a president that maybe they disagree with how he handles things. Maybe they disagree with his Twitter strategy, but they don't want the other side, and there's no excitement for the other side, and there's no plan on the other side. And even this new poll that came out, we can flash you, there's a tweet of it. This new poll that came out shows only 32% of Biden voters say the main reason they're voting for him is because, quote, I like Joe Biden. 73% of Trump voters say they're voting for him because, quote, I like Donald Trump. Even the Democrats, and you can see it, and you can see, Lord, you can see why. I mean, golly, we saw the Pennsylvania event yesterday in that dude's backyard, which needs a lot of work. Needs a lot of work, golly. But we've seen the awkwardness. We saw his town hall yesterday where he needed what looked like a prompter just to respond to a basic question. We've seen everything he's done from his basement. We've seen his 47 years of failure before that. We've seen his countless sniffing. I mean, he'd be a hell of a bomb sniffing dog. Like, that's maybe where we should have taken Biden. That's maybe his sweet spot. Not running for president. Bomb sniffing dog. We could have used him overseas. But there's no excitement. There's no energy behind him. And you're seeing it. You're seeing it in the polls. You're seeing it visually in what's going on out there. And you're seeing the exact opposite and tons of excitement for President Donald J. Trump. So I think that's pretty telling. I think it's going to be interesting come November. Real quick, we need you to check out Mammoth Nation, America's conservative discount club. They're on a mission, folks, to get President Trump reelected and keep liberal Democrats, people like Joe Biden, out of office. And they really mean it. They really mean it. A lot of you have already gone there and seen it firsthand, and you know what I'm talking about. And I wouldn't say this if it wasn't true. So go to mammothnation.com right now. It's only $19 a year. And here's what you get. We've been talking about prizes, but there's some new twists to this that are going to make you like it even more. You get great discounts, of course. You get your membership, gets you tons of discounts, all sorts of products and services. So it pays for itself. You automatically get entered into the Mammoth Election Day sweepstakes, which we've been talking about. There's some great prizes, including that 65-inch Samsung TV up there. And you're going to love this. You really are. You're also going to get, as a new added feature, we'll call it, a Trump flag just for joining. Become a lifetime member. Mammoth Nation sends you a free Trump flag, some other cool items. Once again, it's mammothnation.com. Let's go join us so we can win this whole thing in November. Lord knows we need it. All right, let's cruise the headlines. We talked enthusiasm, how there's none of it on that side, on the Democrat side, and there's no excitement for the candidate. That's established. We've established it all already today. We've established it ever since we brought the show back and have been back in business here. But because of that, they've had to come up with ways. Obviously, they've had their different schemes and tactics that they've done. They've had their hit pieces against Trump, like the Atlantic one, which we're going to talk about again later with former Navy SEAL Eli Crane. There's how they're pushing the pandemic. There's how they're pushing and not condemning until just recently, the violence in the streets. But they've got to find ways to talk up this candidate of theirs that they all know and behind closed doors are saying, we're screwed. This guy's not good. So what do? They bring back Barry. They go and get Barack Obama, and they put him and Kamala together, not physically together. They were on like a Zoom call, like a teleconference, to talk about Joe. And they have some real awkward exchange. We're not going to show the whole thing because it's like 4 minutes long or something like that. But there's some awkward exchanges before they get to actually talking about Joe. You can go find it online. I really don't recommend it. But you can go find it if you want to. But then they start talking about Joe, and this is what happens. Rule three.
Effectively. Right. So tell me about Joe and your relationship with Joe, and what do I need to know? Like, what's the thing about the ice cream? He loves ice cream. You know, tell me about that.
Well, listen, ice cream is big. Pasta with red sauce. He can go deep on that. Uh-huh. He really does like those aviator glasses. He knows he looks good in them. But look, the main thing to know about Joe is that Joe has never lost his sense of why we do this. And we do it because of, you know, for him, memories of his family back in Scranton and then the people at Delaware that he represented, the folks on the Amtrak train he met each and every day. He's constantly aware that that is why we do this, and that everything that comes up, his focus is going to be, how's that going to help those people who sent him there. Now, what that means is that if you have a joint event, he may be taking a little longer than what appears on the schedule. Because he will be talking to every single person.
But I love that about him, too. I really do. And it's what the people deserve. It's what they want. You know, folks want to be seen. And Joe sees people through those aviator glasses and without them. He really does see people. It's a very special thing about him.
You are doing great. You will continue to be doing great.
Thank you.
Make sure, though, you get those workouts in.
Yep.
Get enough sleep that you're staying healthy, and I'm going to be doing everything I can, and Michelle will be too, to make sure that we have a good election day.
Thank you so very much, Mr. President.
All right, so a little bit better produced, at least compared to what we've seen from the Democrats so far this campaign, this election cycle. You got the piano music in the background to try and really draw you in, make you emotional. I can't stand her delivery and her tone and her voice. And I'm sure people say that about I hate your voice. I don't like my own voice either. But I don't like the way that she delivers messages, the facial expression she makes. She just screams, "I'm a phony," like we all know her to be from her record, from how she rose to power, who she is. It screams it. But I love that they have to bring back Barack for this, who was an awful president, but is far more elegant and articulate of a speaker than either of them are. You can see why people at least rallied behind him and wanted to believe him and that he would do good. He didn't. But they've got to bring back someone, and then they've got to use her as well to be the face of this campaign, because, again, their candidate is awful. He's among the biggest disasters of a candidate that we've ever seen. And they've got to use other people to try and drum up excitement. And then they go and they talk about Joe. Okay, this is about Joe. We've got to build him up, when really it's like, just show some FaceTime. Maybe people will link Obama and Joe together on the Democrat side and see that there's some hope there when there's not. But they hardly talk about Joe. They talk about ice cream, which is interesting. His aviator glasses. Which, come on, like, if you're going to talk about aviator glasses, you talk about Tom Cruise and Top Gun. You don't talk about Joe Biden. Like, there's, you just don't do that. And this, I don't like the reference of Obama saying Joe goes deep on pasta and red sauce, as sexual of a man as he is, as big of a pervert as he is. I just don't like that, how that looks and sounds. But again, like, you're talking about ice cream, sunglasses, pasta. And I get it. You're trying to build him up as a man of the people and someone that people can relate to. He wants to stick around and talk to everyone. He usually gets in a fight, a verbal fight, threatens to beat people up and meet out in the parking lot, which we've seen from him all the time. He gets feisty. But again, I just don't, they can't even come up with something compelling when they use Kamala and they bring in Barack to talk about Joe Biden. They can't even come up with something compelling to talk about. It's either a slam on Trump, or they're talking about Joe's favorite foods, which he does need softer foods like ice cream now. I imagine that to be true. But the whole thing is ridiculous. Their campaign is a disaster. It's a sham. The whole hopefully you guys are seeing this out there. Hopefully your friends and family and your colleagues are seeing this, and they don't vote for that. Again, you don't have to love President Trump, but you should love America and realize that this is an election about law and order or chaos, American values or socialist values, and this new progressive left ideology that's going to take us down an awful path. It's not about Biden and Trump. It's what do you want America to look like? And then we'll figure it out again in 4 years. All right. So you want to know what happens when you put Democrats in charge of energy or your cities, just in charge of anything. This is what LA is going through, you know, and keep in mind, it's summer. It's hotter than hell out in California right now, like it is here too in Florida. There's fires raging everywhere, thanks to a baby reveal party, gender reveal party. And LA Mayor Eric Garcetti got slammed, as he should have, for tweeting this out on Sunday. This was his tweet. It's almost 3 p.m. Time to turn off your major appliances, set the thermostat to 78 degrees, or use a fan instead. Turn off excess lights and unplug any appliances you're not using. We need every Californian to help conserve energy. Please do your part. Hashtag flex alert. Get your shit together, California. Like, are you kidding? Like, that is... That's so third world of a very well-to-do in terms of budget and resources state that is asking people to turn their unplug appliances you're not using, turn your therm. It's first 78 degrees and above is nursing home degree temperatures. It could also be used for torture. That is ridiculous. Your house should never be 78 degrees unless you are in that older age, and then fine, that nursing homes are miserably hot. But normal people, 78 degrees, like, I think anything above 73 is intolerable. We don't go above that here in the house. And then at night, you go 70 and below. That's my preference. But you can't possibly be serious that you're sending out tweets and messages to residents to say, turn everything off. You know, the city's got its problems. It's got crime. It's got pollution. It's got homeless issues. It's got all sorts of stuff. Now you've got riots. You've got all that stuff going on out there. You got the fires. But there's some good in Los Angeles. And you used to be able to see some of it. Not the politics, but just some of it. We got this is what the city looks like now. And now you used to see Hollywood signs, this, that, and the other. There it is. That's Los Angeles at night right now. Blackness, because Garcetti and Newsom want everyone turning their appliances off. It's pretty ridiculous. All right, moving on. I told you before, the president has been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. We're not going to touch on this a whole lot today, but you know, he struck that huge deal between the UAE and Israel earlier this year. And now Christian Tybring, Jed, I don't know how you say his last name, not out of disrespect, I just don't know. He was a member of the Norwegian parliament, submitted the nomination, praising Trump for his effort on this deal, which really was historic, because everyone has focused forever and a day on peace between Palestine and Israel, which would be great, right? But it's more complex than that. It's one of the most complex issues on the planet, and that's why people have always struggled to make it happen. But in rallying other members, other countries in the Middle East around Israel and creating deals with them so all of them can collectively come to the table and talk to Palestine, hold Israel accountable too. You know, we want the best for Israel, but you know, if there is going to ever be peace between the two, then they've got to be held accountable to their side as well. That's how deals go. But having that approach of, okay, we're going to build strength in numbers and then come to the table with you, Palestine, and maybe something gets done. Maybe it doesn't, but the initiative, the mindset behind striking this deal is certainly not a bad thing. There's not a bad outcome that comes out of this. It's a good to great scenario, and hopefully great. So I don't know that he will win it. There's so much hate towards the president. There's so much bias. But if he did, I mean, just imagine for a second, if he did, the outrage that we would see from the mainstream media, the Democrats, their clients, and it just would be epic. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with it. But I would love for him to be awarded that. I mean, Brock got one. And people were, in fairness, they were mad when he did, too, on our side. And people will be mad if Trump wins one. But what he did was a big deal. That was a big deal. And in any other year where it's not an election year, we're not dealing with the pandemic. We're not dealing with cities being burnt to the ground. A lot more attention in the news cycle would have been given to that. And certainly, were it a Democrat in the Oval Office and not President Trump. All right, on the other side, we're going to get to the newest video that Tucker Carlson released, the newest audio, rather, in the form of a video. This time, it's with Michael Cohen, Trump's former lawyer, and Jeff Zucker, the president of CNN, a network who obviously does not like the president. But you'll be surprised at how Zucker talks about him. Real quick, what we've got you to, please go to drewberkowitz.com each and every day. Get your news fix there. Tons of articles, tons of content that's getting pumped through there. And we greatly appreciate your support. You can also watch the show there while you're there as well. Show clips, all sorts of stuff. So there's tons of content on there. Again, it's drewberkowitz.com. Also, give us a follow and a like on Facebook, Twitter, if you have not already, Parler as well. And if you have not subscribed on YouTube, you can do so right down here in the corner. As always, share away with your friends, family, and colleagues, podcast listeners, every platform out there. If there's one that we're somehow missing, let us know, and we'll get it on there if that's your preferred way to listen. But you can go find it. Just search Drew Berkowitz or search This Is My Show, and you'll find it. It's on all those platforms. Again, we greatly appreciate your listenership there. All right, on the other side, we'll get to that video. Lots more to go. Stick around.
Mammoth Nation is the discount club for conservatives. You get great discounts on name brand products and services, and the proceeds help candidates who support the right causes. Plus, the money you save from just one purchase can pay for your entire membership. Liberal Democrats are destroying America, and we can't let Joe Biden be president. It's time to join the fight. Strength in numbers. We give the silent majority a resounding voice. Go to mammothnation.com and let's win this fight together.
All right, welcome back. Still thinking of that go deep with red pasta sauce. It's gross. Something that's not gross, though, something that's pretty amazing is the segment sponsor that we have for you today, and that's Hero Soap Company. We've been telling you about them. They've got awesome products. You need to check them out if you haven't done so already. Veteran-owned company, put a huge focus, people, on homeless veterans, getting them off the street by donating to Operation Finally Home. Also, their soap, which you can see here, tons of other ones. It's not just these. Tons of, you know, different options. There's the woods. There's peppermint plus cool, which I've been using. All sorts of stuff. It's all natural, made without the harmful chemicals that and fragrances that other companies use out there. It's essential oils. And it's also made right here in the USA, in Arizona. So head on over to the HeroSoapCompany.com and subscribe for a no-contract monthly delivery of soap straight to your door and never run out again. Again, it's HeroSoapCompany.com. And let freedom clean. All right. Tucker Carlson has been releasing these clips that we've heard. We heard Chris Cuomo, who's a total D-bag, and we just got further proof of that in that last clip that he released and how he talks and just how he kind of handles and looks down at everyone. That's just how he is. Him and Acosta both, they think everyone's scum and that they're the prized possession wherever they are. But he's now released a new one with CNN President Jeff Zucker and Michael Cohen. And Zucker and his network, of course, as we all know, like MSNBC and all the other major networks out there, are vehemently opposed, at least in their performance and at least in their programming, to President Trump, conservatives really writ large, Christian values writ large. That's what their base wants. That's what their audience wants. So they go after the president. They go after traditional American values. They quickly come to the aid and support of woke social justice warriors who are destroying our cities, burning our buildings, destroying businesses, assaulting people. It's ridiculous. But what comes out of this, and granted, this conversation was back in 2016. People change their minds. People take different different approaches. But remember, people were really, really, really against President Trump back then. I mean, the assaults on Trump were well before he won the nomination, well before he took office. But this is a couple clips kind of mashed together of Cohen and Jeff Zucker, who, by the way, I think he bought Drudge Report. I can't confirm that, but we know Drudge Report has gone full-scale liberal. They kind of slowly but surely went anti-Trump, and now it's just full-on. You shouldn't be going to Drudge Report anymore. They pulled a fast one on us. But this is the clip between Cohen and Zucker. Take a listen.
Very conscious of not putting too much in email, as you're a lawyer, as you understand, and, you know, and as fond as I am of the boss, he also has a tendency, like, you know, if I call him or I email him, he then is capable of going out in his next rally and saying that we just talked, and I can't have that, if you know what I'm saying.
And Zucker added this.
I have all these proposals for him, like, I want to do a weekly, you know, I want to do a weekly show with him and all this stuff. When is he back in New York tomorrow?
How many times do you think Cruz is going to call him a con man tonight?
No, Rubio.
How many times do you think he's...
A lot.
I say 100.
So you know what you should do is, who's ever around him today should just be calling him a con man all day so he's used to it. So that when he hears it from Rubio, it doesn't matter. Hey, con man. You know, hey, con man.
Yeah, great. You want to get smacked in the head?
He thinks that's his name, you know?
So fascinating, right? It's really, really interesting to hear Jeff Zucker, whose network, their only job is to go after President Trump. The vast majority of their coverage is slamming the president. They do not want him to win. Yet, he seems to really respect the guy. He seems to really respect the president. There's a picture of them together. He calls him the boss. He wants to offer him a show. He wanted to offer him a show back in 2016 on CNN. That would have been fascinating. I wonder if he'd offer him one now. But all of that, he's giving advice to Cohen on how he should handle and perform better in the debates, the GOP primaries that were happening back in 2016. The whole thing is just, to me, I find it really fascinating. It's not some gotcha piece in the sense of, okay, well, Jeff Zucker's going down now. It's showing us, the world, consumers of the news, voting citizens, whatever, what a sham the media is. And the right has its problems too. Fox certainly has its problems now under new leadership. But, you know, we've seen who Cuomo is behind the scenes. We've seen his whole COVID journey, him lashing out at that guy in the Hamptons, the audio leaked of him talking to Cohen. And all of these people know each other. All of these people know each other. You've got Zucker now, who at least back then showed a great deal of respect towards the president. Still obviously had a network to run. Can't be seen supporting him or liking him, but had some admiration for the president. And yet goes and pushes this, which just further shows that this is a ratings and money game, which, all right, whatever, it's a capitalist country, it's free country, you're a private company, if you want to go do that, and your way to earn money is to slam the president, slam American values, then I disagree with it. But if that's your approach, then I guess you're welcome to it, because it's still a free country. But it's just remarkable who sits down in the chair, or who sits down in Zucker's office and directs people in the chair, directs the producers, directs all these others to do this, and then is a different person. And in the case of Cuomo, he is just a douchebag. Like, that's a clear-cut case. Was before. You hear audio now of him talking to Cohen, and he still is. But it's interesting. It shows, again, what a joke the media is. And that same media is now trying to push this garbage in the Atlantic with Goldberg's piece there saying that Trump called military members losers, suckers. It's been, the whole narrative's been shattered by multiple firsthand accounts, credible accounts, as opposed to the anonymous sources that The Atlantic cited, because the Dems needed something new to throw at President Trump and to cause confusion and outrage in the masses, try and bring a couple swing voters over. So we're going to get into that on the other side. We're going to talk about it a little bit more. We're going to do it with former Navy SEAL, good friend of the show, founder of Bottle Breacher, Eli Crane. That's coming up. Stick around.
Do you love freedom? Do you love being clean? Then you'll love Hero Soap Company, made in the USA. Chemical and fragrance free. A portion of each purchase donated to veteran and first responder charities. Initial subscription purchase is matched bar for bar and sent overseas to deploy troops. Let freedom clean. Hero Soap Company.
So lots of conversation about this Atlantic hit piece, which I think you should see is a obvious smear tactic, hit piece, whatever. Whatever you want to call it, it's an attack on President Trump, timed with a new ad that hits on some of the same issues. No coincidence there, right? But we've talked about it ad nauseum, but I wanted to bring someone else on to give his opinion on it, his thoughts on it. This is our good friend and former Navy SEAL Eli Crane earlier this week talking about this very issue. Roll the clip.
But here's what I like to do. I like to look at people's actions and then compare that to the lies and the propaganda being told about them. And so when I look at President Trump and then I compare that with the statement that he thinks that soldiers are suckers and losers, I look at what he's done for us soldiers and veterans. And I can tell you, he's the first president ever that gave us the ability, once we get out of the military, to go out into town and see a private doctor if we don't want to go to the VA. I can tell you that he's done an amazing job rebuilding the US military. Would somebody that thinks that we're suckers and losers give us the funding and the training and the equipment to do our job and to come home safely? Would somebody that thinks that we're suckers and losers be so cautious and careful about keeping us out of wars that the media said that he would get us into? And lastly, would somebody that thinks that we're suckers and losers take time out of the most busy schedule in the history of the universe to go meet our men and women that come home in coffins with American flags draped over them to be there for their grieving families and parents? The answer is no, he wouldn't. And that's why, once again, I don't believe what the media is saying about our president.
Well, there it is. And Eli joins us now. Eli, good to see you, brother.
Thanks for having me on, bro.
Well, I love that. I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. And I think speak for so many of us who have served in one capacity or another, military or otherwise, but
right.
You know, you said a lot there, and we're going to kind of hit on some of it again. But I mean, just off the top, like, doesn't this just come off as a total load of garbage, like a lazy load of garbage by the Democrats?
You know, it really does. And the fact that it's almost 2 years after the fact, you know, really stinks to high heaven. And I think that the other thing that really bothered me is that none of the sources were named again, which, you know, a lot of people don't realize how important that is in this country. But, you know, in the Sixth Amendment, I believe it is, we have the right to confront our accuser. And so with all these unnamed sources constantly popping up in the media, it, you know, it's like this guy never gets to defend himself. And I got to ask the American people, how would you like it if you were constantly being gossiped about, talked about behind your back and lied about? You knew it wasn't true, but you couldn't confront your accuser. And I think one of Trump's, you know, spokespeople said the other day, there is a crisis in journalism right now, to the point where most of us just don't even believe anything the media says anymore.
Yeah. Well, and I think what's frustrating about it too, and you make a great point, because this president is attacked more than any president ever before, like by a denominator that we can't even name. It's such a stark contrast to what we've seen before. But I think it's remarkable, not just that the Democrats and the media continue to do this, but that they think that America is so gullible and naive that they're going to take this hook, line, and sinker each and every time, which a lot of us used to, and a lot of the country still does, granted. But they keep pulling off these, or trying to pull off these schemes where they just lie. And to your point, they, you know, well, we can't tell you the sources, but trust us, it happened. Like, how do you actually think that's going to work? You've tried it with so many things, the Kavanaugh stuff, with so the impeachment, the Russia, you name it. It's countless schemes that they've tried, all ended up being, oh, no, that actually didn't happen. That was a lie. And then they just try it again. They just fill in the blank with a new story.
Right, it's kind of like the whole, hey, these riots that you see, they're actually peaceful protests, right? This is just the newest installment of the doublespeak and the manipulation. And I think it's hard for a lot of Americans to even get to that point in their thinking, because, you know, I'm a 40-year-old man, and when I grew up, you know, news was typically and generally considered to be factual and trustworthy. But now it's gone so far beyond the pale that it's not news anymore. It's propaganda and it's manipulation. And I don't think a lot of people have been able to make that jump. And I don't think a lot of people want to make that jump in their mind that the most prominent news outlets in the United States of America would be, you know, intent on manipulating them and not actually reporting fact, but, you know, really pushing agenda.
Well, and I think the tough thing too is we've probably even talked about this before, but there's so many people out there like, oh, I want to go back or I want to start a site, or I want to start a news program, or I want to start this, that, or the other, fill in the blank, something that's center and brings everyone back to center. And that's a noble and great cause, good thought. But the problem is, my concern is, everyone is so hardened on their sides. No one wants to hear the other side. They want to consume what they already believe, and anything that goes against that, they're offended by. So, you know, folks who watch CNN don't want to watch something in the middle that's not attacking the right. Folks on the right don't want to watch something that's not attacking the left. So it creates this difficult, if not impossible, situation where should a new network ever pop up that is trying to actually just be news and not endorse candidates or this, that, and the other, they're going to have a real hard time finding an audience, because everyone wants to just hear what they already believe, right?
Yeah, you know, that's that echo chamber, you know, system that we got going on here. And, you know, that bothers me too, because I have liberal friends, you know, and I want to, you know, I want to reach across the aisle and, you know, compromise with, not really compromise, but I want truth to be center, right? And when I look at how far left the Democratic Party has gotten, to me it's no longer about, you know, compromising, because I'm not going to compromise on, you know, abortion and killing babies. I'm not going to compromise on socialism and whether or not I think that would be good for our country, because I know that it wouldn't be. I'm not going to compromise on defunding the police. You know, I'm not going to compromise on a lot of these issues that we're divided on. And, you know, so for me, it kind of puts you between a rock and a hard place. And I think compromise at times, though it's good nature, and there, I think the people that are looking for that are virtuous in doing that. You got to ask yourself, what are you really standing for? You know, and if you're compromising, you know, with something you believe is completely immoral and wrong, where does that leave you? And that's, for me, that's something I just cannot do. Even though I can love people that have opposite viewpoints as me, I don't really see a compromise on a lot of these issues. And that, you're right, that does put us in a very difficult spot.
Yeah, no, and you're absolutely right. I mean, those there's some issues you can compromise on, but most of the ones that are being talked about now, and most of the ones that are very, very divisive, like, you shouldn't. Like, there's this call for everyone out there to kneel and to bow to this or placate to this group, and that's not the answer. The answer is no, more than ever, you do harden yourself on positions that matter, whether it's your faith, you know, abortion, some of these, you know, national security, whatever those issues are to you, it's the time to harden yourself there and then open up to compromise in other areas. It's a frustrating place where we are. I mean, how do we wake others up though to this media, getting back to them, and how, you know, taken advantage of most people are out there? I mean, CNN and these guys must just be laughing in their boardrooms. Like, what are we going to tell them today? Okay, this is going to be fun, because they know most people are going to listen to it. And most people, you know, Fox has great ratings, this, that, and the other, but there are tons of people who watch CNN, MSNBC, and, you know, CBS, NBC, et cetera. How do you get this message through that, guys, you're being fed a load of lies and BS?
Well, I think the first thing that we have to do is we have to quit being the silent majority. That's first and foremost. You have to obviously realize the tactics of the left, right? Because I'm all for the, hey, let's have a debate. Let's agree to disagree, and let's just have a open conversation. Unfortunately, if you have an open conversation in 2020, we all know as a conservative where that leads. You're going to be labeled a racist, a homophobe, a this-a-phobe, a that-a-phobe. And, you know, so it's like, and that's exactly what they want. They want to scare you into submission. They want to scare you into silence. And they've done a phenomenal job of doing that. And so I think you have to understand what the rules of the game are. And then you have to have the courage to engage in that game and say, okay, I know who I am. I know what I stand for. I know I'm not a racist. I know I'm not this. I know I'm not that. Just because I don't agree with something or a policy or a position doesn't mean I hate whoever is, you know, whoever's behind it. And so I think it starts there with understanding what you believe, why you believe it, and then having the courage to speak truth. Because when you speak truth, you know, truth always, it always shines brighter than darkness. It always does. And we also have to have the ability to be critical of our own views and to question them and, you know, to have conversations and to, you know, look at both sides of the aisle. But the biggest thing I see lacking right now, because I know that the silent majority is getting fed up, I know that they're tired of all this cultural Marxism, this intersectionality, this political correctness that is a cancer destroying our country. But they're too scared to speak up and speak out because they don't want to lose everything that they've worked for. Yeah. And I get it. Who wants to lose everything that they've worked for? Who wants to be the next victim of cancel culture? I understand that. But my point to the silent majority out there, regardless of whether you're a liberal, whether you're a Democrat, a conservative, or a Republican, I'm telling you right now, guys, if we don't speak up and speak out, and understand that this country didn't get this way accidentally, but there was a design behind it. And if we don't protect it and if we don't fight for it, we're gonna lose it. And then you're gonna lose all that you worked for anyway. And so that's why it's important to find your voice, to find some courage, and always try and push towards truth and not feelings.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because the other side is it's purely emotional. And then all of these ideas are completely lacking logic. And I think you're right, because yes, people are scared because they don't want to lose their job. They don't want to lose their livelihood. They, you know, cancel culture, as you said as well, but they will lose it no matter what. And people don't want to fight. No, most people don't like confrontations. You know, it's kind of just in our DNA not to. Like, so you don't like that, but the end game is if the silent majority stays silent and doesn't do anything, doesn't get out and vote, doesn't stand up for reason and logic and spiritual, traditional values, what have you, then you do lose it, like you're going to say anyways, and it gets to a point where then you've got to fight to get it back, like literally potentially fight to get it back, whereas now, yes, you could lose it, but gosh, it'd feel a hell of a lot better to know that you did the right thing and stood up for it and show your kids. I mean, that's the other thing right now, is we've got to be showing our children how to not be another generation like the ones we're seeing in the street, how to stand up for yourself, how to say and believe the right things and have the courage and be brave enough to say, no, 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 I believe in the Constitution. I believe in how our founding fathers built this. I believe in Christ. I believe in whatever. And all the noise over there, sling it at me. That's fine. But I'm standing firm. We need a new generation coming up that has the balls to do that.
No, exactly. And you know, if you see that certificate over my shoulder, that's my Navy SEAL diploma. You know, when I graduated from SEAL training, and I'll be honest with you guys, I thought I was done fighting. I really did. When I punched out of the military in 2014, I was tired. I was exhausted. I was tired of being away from my family. I wanted to live the American dream and enjoy the good life, right? And then I saw what was going down. And the reason that I do what I do, the reason I come on these shows, the reason I make the videos I do is because I realized that the biggest enemy to the United States of America was not outside our borders. It was, in fact, right here within, and that we would be destroyed from within. And that's what's happening. And so for a warrior like me, I had to say, Eli, are you really a warrior, or are you just worried about your own personal security, your own comfort, your own wealth, your own life, and living the American dream? Or do you care enough? Do you care enough about these people that you fought for, that you were willing to die for, to speak out, to speak truth, to put your life, put your livelihood on the line, to be canceled, to be called all these names in the book? And the answer to that question is, yeah, I do, because I love this country enough to take all of it. And that's one of the reasons that I support President Trump. And it's not because like he's a perfect man, or you know, he's infallible, but because I see that same fight in him. He's willing to take it every single day for the American people, you know? And so that's what it comes down to. We all have to get out of this mentality of just protecting our own little bubble. Cause I'm telling you, we will lose this country if we continue down the path that we are as conservatives, where we're worried about our 401k and what's on Netflix tonight and what are we gonna have for dinner. That 401k is not gonna do squat for you if we become a socialist country. And to your point, Drew, getting out to vote is important, but the real war right now in the United States of America, it's a cultural war, and we're losing it. We're getting our tails whipped. And I mean, you know, there's so many fronts that this battle's being fought on, to include our educational system and our schools. And that's why our kids, our college kids, are coming out of school thinking that socialism is a good idea and redistribution of wealth, right? And it's like, we've seen this experiment play out so many times. We know where it's gonna lead, those of us that have studied, and yet we're quiet about it because we don't want to feel the wrath of the mob. We don't want to be canceled. We don't want to be labeled. And I'm telling you right now, we play this out. You play this out long enough, and we end up losing this one because we were too scared to engage.
Yeah. No, I fear you're right, and we are. We're getting our tails whipped on this whole cultural battle, and it doesn't have to be that way, because I really do think, and we got to run in a second, but I really do think that the voices that are loudest on that side are still it's still a small percentage. Yes, you know, upwards of 50 or just above or just below vote Democrat, but not all of them are on this radical train. It's a smaller portion that just happens to be really well-funded and extremely loud, and everyone is likewise on the other side is too scared to say that they're wrong because they don't want to be canceled by this small, loud, little mob. So the mainstream media wants that. They're because they're scared. They want to support anything that's against President Trump. They want all of this. But what we're losing to a small voice. If we would just rise up, we'd have a much different outcome, or at least there'd be a fight. Right now, it's not a fight. We're getting blown out. You know, the starters came out at halftime, the subs, the backups are in the second half, and it's not looking pretty. Listen, we appreciate your time. We appreciate your service. I always love it when you come by, just laying some truth on people. We'll definitely have you back. But thanks again for being here.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
You got it. All right, folks, stick around for after hour. I keep wanting to call it happy hour. There probably will be drinks, but after hour, stick around for that. We're going to talk about this cop who is being assaulted. He was trying to arrest this guy. Then the guy flipped it around and started assaulting him. And these black dudes come out of nowhere and beat the crap out of him. We'll talk about that in after hour. So stick around. If you're listening to the podcast, you can just hang right here. It'll play after the bumper and you'll hear it. And remember, folks, we've all got opinions, ideas. It's a contentious world out there. And like Eli and I were just talking about, we've got to stand our ground. We've got to stand our ground. Even if you have different ground to stand on, know who you are. Stick there. But for me, this is my show. And we hope you enjoyed it. See you tomorrow. All right, here we go, After Hours. I'm going to keep it short today, folks, but I wanted to get this clip out there and let you see it. I know that we have been given flack and had issue if we put it in the main episode, but we'll do it now. So we've talked about how the black community wants law enforcement in their neighborhoods, despite what Black Lives Matter, despite what the mainstream media, Democrat politicians would tell you right now, because it's an election year and they need to sow chaos. And we've shown examples, and you've seen, you know, examples of members of the black community saying, no, we don't want to defund the police. Not saying that the police are perfect, but we don't want to defund them. We need them in these minority communities, these urban centers where a lot of these issues are happening. By the way, Democrat-controlled cities, all of them, continue to hold the man down. That's what they do. Lie. Look up here. We're great. We're great. We're awesome. But stay under my knee. That's what they do. But these people don't want to do that. And yes, there are groups in the street right now chanting. A lot of them, white folks too, joining the BLM movement. But whatever. I mean, it's a free country. But they're out there chanting and very loudly spreading this narrative that police are bad and the black community shouldn't like them, shouldn't trust them. There needs to be all sorts of reform, right? We all know. We've heard the drum beats, literally in some cases, the drum beating through Rochester as they marched through there yesterday. Maybe that was Pittsburgh. I don't know. They're marching everywhere. But we've heard that. But we know from talking to a lot of more level-headed people who are not getting the attention nationally, because, again, it goes against the Democrat and mainstream media's narrative right now, but people who are saying that's not what we need. There are things we can fix, but we don't need to defund the police. Most police are good. We don't need to do this. We don't need to do that. And this, I just thought, was a great example of it. And it's kind of a graphic video. It's got some violence in it. And it's a police officer arresting a black individual who then turns the tide, turns the thing around, and starts attacking the police officer on the ground. And out of nowhere, some black community members there come out of nowhere and beat the crap out of this guy defending the law enforcement officer. And it's just good to see. But here's the clip. Take a look.
You had nothing to do with it, sir.
I ain't had nothing to do with this shit.
Hey, bro, you better go.
Keeps going on. Probably went a little too far. That swift couple kicks to the nuts looked like it didn't feel too good. But what's awesome about it is these people stepped up despite all of the noise and the false narrative that's being spewed out there. These guys saw a law enforcement officer of a different color, which shouldn't matter, but it's 2020 and there's lots going on, in need, being assaulted by someone who's being arrested, and they stepped up and defended him. I'm not saying that they're best friends, that they love law enforcement, but they did the right thing. They defended a law enforcement officer who, again, 99.99999% of them are good. And good cops hate bad cops more than anyone. And that small percentage that are bad, they want to get rid of too. So I love seeing this. Again, they went a little over the top. Probably could have just taken care of it, held him down, and let the officer cuff him and stuff him. But I think it's good to see. We need to defend our police officers out there. We need to understand that our police officers are good. They're selfless. And they're doing all this, by the way, for crap pay. Crap pay. They're not doing this to get rich, and they're not. They're not getting rich. They're working their butts off, doing overtime, putting up with the worst of society because they want to, because they care. And they don't care what color is on the other end of a call. They care about doing their job, doing it right. And for the bad ones out there, your day's coming. But the vast majority of you are good. And I appreciate these young men stepping up and defending him as strong-handed as they did it. All right, one more great show this week, guys. We're looking forward to bringing it to you. Great shows lined up for next week. Hope you're enjoying After Hours. We're trying to break this up so we can get you some of the content we want to talk about in the show but can't. So we'll keep doing it until we see it fizzle out or if you guys have a different thought on it. But thanks again for joining today. We'll see you.